Jesus, the one that we worship this day. Amen. Today, the third Sunday in Lent, a season that we focus on the cross of our Lord and also the beginning of National Lutheran Schools Week, I want to talk about the gospel lesson, the wonderful story of Jesus blessing the little children. What a wonderful gospel lesson. Let's pray as we hear about that today. We pray, Lord, always give us a hunger, a thirst, a love for your holy word. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds now and always to receive your word with faith, with gladness and eagerness. Impress it upon our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is your favorite children's story? A children's story that you love to hear, you love to read to your kids, maybe the kids like to hear, that maybe makes you laugh and smile, maybe cry. Well, you know, when I was growing up as a little boy in school, I went to a Lutheran school in Indianapolis. You know, I liked all the classic old children's stories. Have you guys heard of Goldilocks and the Three Bears? You heard of that? All right, I like that one. And Little Red Riding Hood. You heard of Little Red Riding Hood? Okay. All right, I'm pretty old, aren't I? You guys maybe don't read these a whole lot anymore. And I liked 101 Dalmatians. I was terrified when the little puppies got stolen by that wicked lady, whatever. And Cruella was her name, I think. I hated that. Probably my favorite classic was The Three Little Pigs. I just couldn't wait for that big bad wolf to get what was coming to him, and they finally conquered that big bad wolf. I have to admit, when I was a little boy, I also kind of liked Cinderella, and I liked Snow White. And those were girls' stories, but I kind of liked them too. They were kind of neat. In more modern days, you guys like Shrek? Shrek 2? Shrek 3? Is there a Shrek 4 coming? I don't know. And Toy Story? There's been a Toy Story 2, maybe a 3, and years ago there was Monsters, Inc. I liked that one a lot with the monsters, and now there's, Monsters versus Aliens. And anybody seen G-Force? Is that about the guinea pigs that help or something? And then there was the one we just watched this on video a few weeks ago, the spaghetti and meatballs coming down from the sky. I really liked that one. Food all over the place in that one, huh? Yeah. Been a lot of great children's stories. But by far the best children's story is right there in your gospel lesson, Mark chapter 10. This is by far the best children's story. It's only, four verses long in Mark's gospel. And we don't have a picture book of this story. And I don't think they made a movie about this story. And we really don't have any funny characters. And you don't really have any major adventure that keeps you on the edge of your seat the whole time. But you have something a lot better than all that. You have love. The love of God. And it's a true story. It's not make-believe. This is a true story. And it's a story that's reenacted throughout the last 2,000 years. It's been reenacted today. It's an ongoing story. For our Lord Jesus is not dead somewhere in a grave over in Israel. He is alive and he still welcomes children. And he blesses them in Christian worship with his word. It's reenacted tomorrow in our school here as children come and they learn of Jesus. As parents bring children to Jesus in our school tomorrow, in Sunday school, in worship, at your church too. Let me give you today three reasons why this is the best children's story. In this story you have parents at their very best. You have children at their best, and if you will, you have Jesus at his best, although he's always at his best, isn't he? First of all, this story shows us parents at their best. Parents, pay attention. Grandparents, you want to be the best parent you can be, the best grandparent you can be? You want to do that? Read this story of parents at their best. What are the parents doing? They're bringing their children to Jesus. They're not reading to their children, playing with their children, taking their children to soccer practice. They're not doing homework with their children. All those things are good things to do. They're not bad things. Those are fine things to do. But much, much more important. This is the best, most important. The parents here are bringing their children to Jesus. If you want to tell me there's some greater task of a parent, raise your hand and we'll let you talk for a little while and we'll then you'll probably be quiet pretty quick because there's nothing more important than this. Bringing your child to Jesus. There's lots of advice out there for parents these days. You know, there's lots of books all over the place on parenting. Some of it good's probably some bad. I don't read a lot of that. There's magazine articles and magazines for parents. There's Bible studies and videos. There's Dr. Phil will talk to parents, and Dr. Laura and Dr. Dobson. Even Judge Judy at times will talk to parents about raising their children. Lots of advice. Keep it simple, parents. Keep it real simple. You want to be a great parent for your children? Bring your child to Jesus. Bring your child to Jesus' Word. Teach Jesus' Word at home. Bring your child to worship to hear Jesus' Word. Bring your child to Sunday school. Bring your child to First Lutheran School to hear and to learn about Jesus Christ. Bring your child to the waters of baptism to be washed and cleansed of their sins and be adopted into God's family. Teach and teach Jesus Christ wherever you're at, walking along the road, in the living room. Teach Jesus Christ. Teach Christmas. Teach His miracles. Teach His teachings. Teach about His cross. Teach about His resurrection, His ascension. Teach forgiveness and teach forgiveness and teach forgiveness and teach forgiveness to your children. And teach about eternal life. Teach them that's their future, eternal life, because of Jesus. Impress and imprint upon the hearts and minds of children Jesus Christ, because nothing in the end matters but Jesus Christ. And that's parenting. And First Lutheran School stands by to help every day. And so we teach math. Yes, it's good to teach math. Much more, we teach and teach mercy. At the cross, God does not count our sins against us. There is good math, that God does not count sins against us. And so we teach science. Yes, much more important, we teach salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of all sins. That's what we teach. And yes, we teach English. More important, we teach eternal life. We teach history. But more so, we teach heaven and we teach hell. And we teach that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. You know, I read this week on the internet an article called The Miracle Berry. This will probably change in a month or two, but this is the new health food that everybody's got to eat. It's called the miracle berry because it has all these antioxidants, whatever that stuff is. It helps prevent aging and gives you health. But you know what the miracle berry is, kids? Maybe you had these this morning. You know what it is? The blueberry. Who had blueberries today? You got to give your kids blueberries. It's the new health food. It'll change next month, but it's no longer broccoli. That's good, and spinach, all that's good. But it's the blueberry. Incredible stuff in a blueberry. So pastors want this too. Tomorrow, a blueberry pie over here. Blueberry muffins in the morning would be good. And if you're cheap, blueberry Pop-Tarts. Those are pretty good too, right, guys? Blueberries. We thank God for blueberries and strawberries and all that good stuff. It's healthy. It helps us. But blueberries won't forgive a sin. Blueberries won't make you right with an almighty, holy God. The real health food that we must give our children is the Bible and holy baptism. And to teach about the body of Christ on a cross and His blood that was shed. And as they get older, give them the body and blood of the Lord. That's the health food the church offers. The Word of God, the Bible, holy baptism, the body and blood. That's what forgives sins. That's what gives eternal life. Parents at their best, bringing their children to Jesus. Wow, may we follow their example. Secondly, we have children at their best. What an example the children are here in this text. Jesus tells us they're an example. He says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. We often turn it around. We think that we adults are the example, and we are in some ways. But really, the children here, they're the example for the adults, Jesus says. They're the example for the 12 disciples and for all of us. The children, as led by the Holy Spirit in this particular gospel, they do three things. And all this is credit to the Holy Spirit working in these dear children here and working in these dear children here in church. First of all, these children come to Jesus. They come to Jesus. I have a picture here of you have babies as well as 10-year-olds. We're told they're children and parents bring them. So you have young ones, babies, 2-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, whatever. You have a mix probably. And they actually come to Jesus. When he says, let them come, I picture them running to Jesus. They're not drugged by the arm by the parent. You're coming to see Jesus whether you want to or not. They're not forced to see Jesus. You're going whether you want to or not. It's good for you, kid. I got a picture of the kids run to the lap of Jesus. And they want to hear him and be blessed by him. It's called faith. They're eager to see Jesus. And secondly, I note they're content when they're with Jesus. We don't read of the children complaining, I'm bored, mom and dad. Can't you give me something other than Jesus, please? Give me my toys, my video games. Let's go see a movie. I want to go to the playground. The children are content, no grumbling, no boredom, no complaining, because they're with Jesus after all. The Lord is my shepherd, I what? I shall not want. I don't need anything else. I'm content because I have my good shepherd. That's the children, they're content. Is Jesus enough for our children? Kids, is Jesus enough for you? I want to hear a little louder. Is Jesus enough for you?
Yes.
Is he enough for you adults? Yes. We're content. We have forgiveness, salvation. They're with Jesus. And then thirdly, most importantly, above all, they have confidence in Jesus. These children, babies are not, they believe in Jesus. They trust him. A faith, a belief that's been worked in them by the Holy Spirit as they come in contact with Jesus. We don't read here where the children have any doubt or any skepticism about Jesus. You had that from adults back then. He had a lot of people back at this time that were questioning Jesus. Are you the Christ? Are you really the Son of God? Are you the great prophet? Are you really going to die? Are you really going to rise? Just who are you, Jesus? We're not sure really who you are. You don't have that from these kids here. You have no questions. The Spirit has given them a simple, certain faith that this Jesus, as they sit on his lap, he is the Son of God. He is the Christ promised of the Old Testament. No questions. He will save them and deliver them from their sins and give them eternal life. They may not know he's going to die on a cross yet or rise exactly, but they know he will save them and deliver them and give them eternal salvation. A simple faith. You know, one big difference between kids and adults, there's lots of differences, but one I notice a lot is that kids easily accept a gift. A free gift the kids accept. They don't worry about paying something back or they don't worry about deserving it or earning it. They just take it and they want more. Whereas adults, you know, we're proud, we're independent. I don't need a gift. I got to work for it. I don't deserve it. I mean, if I offered the kids today, if I offered you as you left today, if I offered each one of you $5, would you take it? Now, I'm not going to do that, kids, okay? So don't be, Pastor Roberts will, but not me. He'll get, maybe a nickel, huh? But if I said, hey, you did such a good job, I give you $5 for lunch. You wouldn't have one of these children saying, no, Pastor, not me, I'm okay, you know, I won't take it, I can get my own lunch, or I didn't sing loud enough, so I don't deserve it. Every kid will say, yes, thank you. They're being a long line, they're, thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I have 10, some of them ask, can I have 5, is not enough, I want $10, please, Pastor. They readily take it, boldly ask for more, maybe. But if I ask the adults, I'll give you $5 for lunch after church, a lot of you would say, well, I can't. If I take $5, Pastor will probably expect a steak in return somewhere. I don't want to get into that with the pastor. Him, me $5 and him a steak. I don't pay back. I don't want to do that. And what have I done to deserve it? I'm proud. I don't need to take $5 from the pastor. That's just the way we are as adults. We have to earn stuff. Faith is receiving what God gives. No questions asked. Not trying to pay back. Not trying to earn it. Just receiving. And that's the children here in Mark 10, and that's these children receiving forgiveness, receiving God's love. Thank you, God, that you love me. God loves me dearly. He loves even me. No payback, no earning, no deserving. Just thank you. You have finally here Jesus at his best. He's always at his best. But this particular story in detail shows us the tender love of Jesus for dear children. Our whole Lutheran school, and I'm sure all schools, Christian schools out there and Sunday schools, are built on this passage. If Jesus hadn't welcomed children, he said, yeah, wait till they're 10 years old. We wouldn't have a school until kids are 10 years old. We'd say, well, Jesus told us not to welcome them until they're 10 years old. But he welcomes children, babies on up. That's why this is the basis for our school here and for Sunday schools. Jesus here at his best. Note the details that St. Mark tells us. The words of Jesus. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. That the Greek means, let them continually come to me. Let them always come to me. It's a continuous thing. Meaning that Jesus doesn't say, let them come to me for 5 minutes. I'll get rid of the rug rats, put them out there, and then I can teach the adults. It's not one of those forced things by Jesus where I have to take the kids, but I don't want them, but I'll take them for 5 minutes and get rid of them. That's not the idea. The idea is, let them come to me all the time. Whenever. I'm never too busy for children. Let them always come, day and night, 24 hours a day. Let them come to me. I'm here for them. I love them. To them belongs the kingdom. And he doesn't demand that they improve their life to come to him. He doesn't say, let them come to me when you've cleaned their diapers and combed their hair and put nice clothing on them and made sure they've made good grades and they're obedient at home. Then bring them to me. He doesn't say that. He says, let them come just as they are. Snotty nose, messed up hair, dirty diaper, rebellious, crying, screaming, disobeying mom and dad, sinful as can be, wicked. Let them come. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. It's called grace. And notice further detail. Jesus took them in his arms, laying his hands on them. Wow. The picture is the kids run to Jesus and they're with Jesus. And Jesus isn't standing here like this. All right, you kids, sit down and be quiet. I'm going to teach you kids, you naughty kids, some things. He's not standing over them, pointing the finger at them. Rather, I picture him on his knees. Actually, I think he is because the Bible says he blessed them. And blessing literally means to bend the knee. He bent the knee to them. He bent over before them to favor them. So Christ is on his knees, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, on his knees with little children. What love of a God. And he took them in his arms. As the kids came to him, the first thing they saw from Jesus was this. And what's that a picture of, kids? The cross. He gives them a foreshadowing of the cross. Come to me. I will die for you. I'll shed my blood for you. And you'll be right with God because of me. And he touched them and put his hands on them. This is very significant. He's adopting the children, if you will. They still belong to the parents, but I adopt them into the kingdom. They belong to me. I claim them as my own. They have all the blessings and treasure of heaven. And then this text says he blessed them, which means he bends the knee and he speaks words of favor. We can only imagine here the words of favor he speaks to each child. He takes time for each child, no doubt. And he probably tells them, God loves you. God is your light. God is your salvation. He might have told them, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life for you. I am your refuge, your strength. I am your Savior. I am the Christ and the Son of God. He spoke words of favor and blessing and forgiveness upon them all. I read a list of mysteries of life, it's called. It's a cute list. Some of the mysteries of our life, you might get a little chuckle out of some of these. Mysteries of life. All right, here's one. If swimming is so good for your figure, why are whales so fat? Mystery of life. Here's one for Al Gore. What should you do if you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant? Now, what do you do about that? Here's one for the kids. If Barbie is so popular, why do you have to buy her friends? That's a good mystery of life. Here's another one. You guys just had your pictures taken, right? When cheese gets its picture taken, what does it say? That's a mystery of life. Wow. If it's true that we're here to help others, then what exactly are the others here for? Ah, it's a good one for the church. And here's one for teachers. Before the invention of drawing boards, what did people go back to? Mysteries of life. Here is no mystery. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He makes it crystal clear, obvious. No mystery, no, nothing vague here. It's crystal clear, simple in this story. He loves children. He loves adults. He loves everybody. And if you doubt that, you look at a cross. No mystery. It's plain. He loves us. He forgives us. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. No mystery. You don't have to think about it. Just believe it. It's true. It's simple. It's clear. Jesus loves us all. We thank God for many, many, many great children's stories out there, at least most of them, but this one is the best. Parents at their best, bringing their children to Jesus. Children at their best, coming to Jesus, believing in Jesus. And Jesus at His best, blessing the little children. Praise be to God for this wonderful, true, ongoing children's story. May it be lived out at First Lutheran School, at your church, at your Sunday school, all the time. Amen. Let's stand.